Welcome to the Love, Sex and Freedom podcast. This is where you're going to discover how to bring awakening into the body and into everyday life through powerful tantric teachings. Get ready to release, open and step into your true power.
Hello. We've got a few people joining already, which is very exciting for this first live series where you and I are just going to have some conversations, which is something that we like to do regularly. So thank you everyone for joining. I'm Erin. I am a practitioner with the Academy. I've been working with the Academy for the last 6 or 7 years and also working in the team. And this series we are creating is an opportunity to have, I guess, a bit more of a relaxed conversation. You and I were talking a couple of weeks ago, Chantelle and I, and we realized we have a lot of conversations about some of these key topics, and we thought it might be nice to really just offer more regular conversations between Raven and myself and maybe some other guests. And so this series is going to also be uploaded to our podcast. So if you miss the live, you can tune into the podcast. If you're listening now, welcome to the podcast. And this will also be uploaded to our Facebook page. So there'll be lots of opportunities to catch these juicy conversations now and after the event. So welcome, Chantelle. You're in lovely Bali.
Yes, it's so good. It's great to get out of freezing cold Perth.
I'm in freezing cold Hobart at the moment, so we're at opposite ends. So I'm really excited for this topic. When we were discussing what the first topic would be, we were feeling into some of the most common questions that people ask yourself and the Academy. And relationships is obviously one of the most juiciest topics that you can dive into in a number of ways. But this question of how to know when to end a relationship is a big one, and something that we wanted to kick off because we get a lot of questions about this. So, yeah, thank you for being here, and let's dive in. How to know when to end a relationship. How often do you get asked this question?
too often. A lot. Excited to be here too and share and hopefully help people who are facing this question, either facing it now or facing it in the future. And really, you know, I'm 45 and it's taken me a long time to get to the point where I'm at, and lots of blundering along the way. And what I've realized through my own personal experience and through working with clients is that there's a difference between being willing to commit to a relationship and do the inner work that's required to grow and evolve, and just beating your head against a wall. And sometimes a relationship, for whatever reason, it doesn't have to be anyone's fault, is just not flowing. There's not a consistent flow of ease, passion, grace, you know, point of agreement and alignment and life are very similar, in that we get thrown things sometimes which trigger us, which are difficult to feel, which are difficult to hear. And there's two different ways of approaching challenge, right? One is to do the inner work, and the other one is to blame the external. So, you know, when I first started diving into personal development and tantra, I definitely was learning, okay, take it in. It's all about the internal work. But I was doing that too much. It meant that I was staying in relationships way beyond their expiry date, and actually not realizing that sometimes the work is to choose the path of least resistance and to actually recognize that people change, but they don't change that much. And if you're in a relationship with someone and I think people are saying it's cutting out.
Yeah, I think, bear with us. I think it was a little bit at the beginning. It seems to have calmed down now. Let us know if it continues to be an issue, but I think it seems to have stabilized from what I can see.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks okay, for letting cool. us know.
So basically, there's three really important areas of the being. You know, there's our sexuality, there is our heart, and our feeling of safety and love and receiving love, and there's our consciousness. And I don't know about you people out there listening, but it's very clear to me when I meet someone where the strongest resonance is. It's like, okay, we're really vibing here. And we can philosophize together and really have a meeting of minds and share similar values. And that's great. You can have awesome conversations and develop good friendships from that space and a sense of allyship and having each other's backs. And then there's the people who you feel a really strong heart connection with, and you can feel them. And you can share your vulnerability and feel safe in that. And there's a place where all of you can show up. And you don't have to walk on eggshells. You can express, you know, what you need, how you feel, what's moving for you. You can even cry in their arms, you know, and show those more tender parts that you can't show anyone else. And often in those connections, you really feel a space held in that connection or in that relationship of safety, right? There's those connections and everyone knows about where you're like, oh my God, you get sweaty around them, and you know, there's this strong sexual connection and your body's very responsive. And then there's those connections where all three are on fire, where you're like vibing at a consciousness level and you've got similar values, and you know, you can philosophize, you can talk, and it's fluid. And you also have this heart connection where you're feeling safe to be vulnerable, where you can share all of yourself, where you can feel each other, and you're turned on. And there's a sexy connection that makes you feel alive in your body, right? And wanting to get closer. And to me, a relationship requires all three. So the first way to know that a relationship may be over is if one of those centers is no longer in alignment. So typically when we begin a relationship, that's when it's more likely that all three are on fire. And then some people aren't even looking for that. So first step, everyone. Learn from my mistakes and from a lot of the mistakes I've heard from other people. You really need to have a strong connection in all three centers. And, you know, my first relationship definitely had that. And that, the father of my child, my first husband, beautiful, beautiful man. We were together for 10 years. And, you know, when I met him, where my consciousness was at was, I want a baby. I want to get married. I want a man who's strong and stable and fully committed to me and a good provider and someone that I know is going to be there for me no matter what. And he was definitely all of that and more. He loved me so unconditionally, still does. We're still great friends. And so all three centers were firing. I was so attracted to him. Like before I even was with him, he'd just pull up at parties and I'd be like, oh, my God. He'd step out. Sexy car with his sunnies on. I still remember the feeling in my body. I'm actually getting hot just thinking about it. So right up until the last year that we were together, that was on. And then I had a huge life-changing moment in my life where I was told that I had cervical cancer. And that led me on a deep journey of questioning why my major feminine center was in trouble, you know. And I got looking, and I had my modalities at the time, that I was working with and thought there maybe there's something else for me. And I met a shaman who was also very tantric, and he introduced me to a whole new world. Literally, I did like just a complete spin, and I'm like, wow, I didn't even know that this type of connection existed. I didn't even know that I had all of these feelings. I didn't even know that my body was capable of what I was feeling and experiencing. And the trajectory of my life completely changed. And unfortunately, I was going into a different journey, and my husband wasn't on that same journey. And he was pretty happy with where we both were previous to this, and we were always growing and changing together. In hindsight, I definitely could have invited him into the journey more. The other thing with us is that what got revealed, you know, through more discussion and sexual exploration was that we had very different sexual preferences. You know, and that's a big deal. And I didn't know what I actually really wanted, and he didn't know what he actually really wanted. And then when we discovered what that was, we were like, oh shit, that's pretty incompatible, right? It's like you get someone who's sensual energetic and then someone who's sensual kinky, and yeah, there's a different energy in that. And you know, part of the exploration of discovering whether you're compatible with someone is not making anyone wrong in it. Like, he is, to this day, one of the most incredible men I've ever met in my entire life and always will be. And it's not that I was better and I was on some journey that I needed to take him on. He's a pretty peaceful, happy dude and stable, you know. There was nothing wrong with him and there was nothing wrong with me. And actually, it was just like, okay, this is what's here now. And I remember when I said to him, I'm not feeling aligned anymore and I need to leave the relationship. He wasn't angry at me. I'm like, I wanted him to get angry to make it easier. And he's like, you can't help where you're at. And we both cried together. And it was a beautiful ending. And, you know, we co-parented together and stayed living together for 5 years. I met him when I was 18. I'm now 45. He's still my best friend in the world. He's still the man that I call when my heart is absolutely breaking and I don't know how to get the tears out, and all I need to do is hear his voice and he'll get me crying. He's the father of my children and I absolutely honor him. So, okay, now I'm on this next journey. But I didn't know about the three centers that I'm describing to you now. Now, the reason Scott and I worked for 10 years with pretty much no drama. We brought up the kids well, you know, maybe had an argument every few months, worked through it pretty effortlessly. We went through challenges, supported each other in it, but there wasn't this big, explosive, like, energy that would have me feeling completely contracted and like something is intensely wrong with me and rejected, and have him feeling like he needs to, like, spread his wings and get as far from me as possible and get some freedom, because we were pretty aligned. And in the next relationship I was in, the sexual energy was 10 out of 10. It was firing on all cylinders. The consciousness connection was exciting and inspiring, and he was introducing me to the worlds of shamanism, tantric lovemaking, dynamics, shadow work, you know, to this whole new level. I was introducing him to mindset work and, you know, personal development and stability and commitment. So our consciousness was like, we're learning from each other. The heart felt completely unsafe. I need commitment to feel safe. I know that now. I need to be fully fucking chosen. I need a man who's not flying out of the state every second month. And you know what? I got really good at what every woman gets really good at that I talk to. And if there's any women who don't get really good at this, please tell me, and men get good at this too. It's like the feminine in all of us. We feel something and it's stirring and we just suck it up and we go about our business. So maybe I'm really fucking triggered that we go to pay for a meal and I'm paying for it, but I rationalize that. Maybe I'm really fucking triggered that he's telling me he's going on the next trip, but I'm like, there's nothing wrong with him not paying. I can pay. I'm an independent woman. I'm earning money. There's nothing wrong with him going on a holiday or, you know, going off on work. I'm a woman. There's nothing wrong with being polyamorous. You know, it's opening my mind and making me grow. Meanwhile, my fucking body is like going off daily, daily. So there's these amazing, explosive moments of connection and beauty. And then there's also this consistent, like, ouch. Again, not because it's his fault, not because it's my fault. But you put a freedom lover together with a commitment lover, what's going to happen? You put someone who actually has never had a relationship until me, and me who loves relationships and was married at 24, let alone the fact that I'm from a completely different culture. You know, my first husband and I, we had the same culture. He got along with my family. He understood. There were so many incompatibilities. And yet that sexual connection that was so strong and the consciousness connection that had me learning and growing just kept pulling me back in. And the other thing that kept pulling me in was everything that I was reading in the tantric world about, you know, do the inner work and every time you've got a charge, bring it in. Truth, definitely. And that gets to a point where you're like, what am I actually learning here that is worth this amount of suffering? And Margot Anand, an amazing tantra teacher who I've spent quite a bit of time with, her definition of tantra is something that I really love. She says, tantra is choosing with awareness what brings you joy. And whilst in that relationship and the next relationship, there were moments of joy. The most consistent energy that I was faced with was this, like, oh, push, pull, contraction, expansion. My nervous system was just like didn't have time to just relax and receive a consistent level of ease and pleasure and joy. And so, you know, finally, after 5 years in the second relationship of plummeting the depths of every shadow you can imagine, and I'm grateful for that time, you know, of working on everything that I could possibly work on, I went, you know what? If it's this hard, maybe we're not meant to be together, you know. And then my next relationship, I'm like, okay, I've tried being married and going, you know, the real safety route. I've tried the liberation, polyamorous, wild relationship. Now I'm going to just be with me and do the whole inner union thing. So that lasted a while, and then I was really horny. And I'm like, I want to be making love. So I'm like, I'm going to try women. And then I had a girlfriend for a while, and that was beautiful. It was sensual. You know, we had so much fun. And, yeah, I mean, if I look back on that time, it was some of the funnest times in my life. But none of the three centers were a full yes, because actually my sexuality is 100% cock. I love cock, you know. That's where my fuck yes is. And my heart, I love to be in the arms of a strong man and feel protected by that. And, you know, in terms of consciousness, for me, a woman can't take me to where I can't take myself in quite the same way. It's almost too much similarity, you know, and it doesn't challenge. And I do like a challenge at that consciousness level. So I'm like, okay, I think I'm ready for a man again. And then I was so, like, just shaky from a lot of the shh that had been in my life that I was like, okay, I just want Shiva incarnate. I just want a man who's able to witness without judgment, create safety, and just hold a space of spaciousness. Be really careful for what you ask for. I got that, right? And what I realized I needed in that relationship was to feel someone who could be vulnerable, to feel someone who could cry with me, who could be with my emotional body in a way that we're not sharing pain as a concept, but we're sharing pain as a felt experience of union, where when someone you love is hurting, there's a compassion and an empathy, and there's this feminine energy and this fluidity in the heart center. So whilst there was so much beautiful devotion and worshipping and love and magic, for me, I need more feminine energy in a man, you know. But I'd asked for Shiva. I'd asked for the masculine principle. So that's what I got. And, yeah, you know, we tried, and then it got to the point where the trying was more than the being. Every day I was trying. Every time we saw each other, I was trying to be the right woman for him. He was trying to be the right man for me. And we just weren't meeting, right? And looking back, we tried for way too long. And after that relationship, that's when I got really clear on what I'm teaching you all here today. And I really hope that I can help people not have to go through what I went through. And I guess the biggest goals that I have for you right now, which I got at this point, and as a result, the last 5 years of relating have been absolutely easeful and beautiful. And yes, I've evolved and grown like you wouldn't fucking believe, but more through joy than pain. And when the pain has been there, they've been right there with me, you know. But all three centers have been on and a full yes. And, you know, the relationship before the one I'm in now, it only ended because we were separated through COVID. So what I realized is that why am I limiting myself to just this or that? Or that I want, you know, what if I knew that I was worth being a man, what would I be calling in? And when I tuned into that, it was scary, because it was like, I don't believe I deserve that. I want someone who is mystical, and I'm going to refer to my current relationship, tick. I want someone who is vulnerable and kind and caring and loves my children, tick. I want someone who fucking turns me on and fucks me and touches me and looks at me in the exact way that I want him to, tick. I want someone who's spontaneous and takes me on adventures and loves to travel, tick. I want someone who froths on tantra and who does the inner work without me having to tell him to, tick. I want someone who can deeply feel me and hold space for me and be there for me no matter what, and not try to fix me and not give me fucking spiritual concepts when I am like firing or when I'm crying. I don't want to hear blah, 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 blah. I just want to feel presence, and I want to feel them feeling me. Tick, right? I want someone who my daughter loves. This was a big one. I'm like, you sure you want to add this to the list? Like, anyone who knows my daughter knows that she's a tough cookie to please. Tick! Fuck yes! When I got that tick, I'm like, yes! So you can have it all. And actually, the relationship that you call in is going to be an energetic match to what you think you're worthy of. And there is so much you need to work through with that. There's so much inner work with that. Do that inner work, right? Instead of all the inner work that you have to do when there's not resonance. You know, in the last two relationships I've had, do you know how much time and space I've had for my kids, for me, for the things that matter, for my healing, for my expansion, for my business? Because there's not all of this energy going into trying to make it work. If you're trying that hard, it's not it. It's not fucking it. Full stop. And the reason I know this is because I'm experiencing it. And it doesn't mean it has to be forever. You know, my current partner, I don't have a womb and he doesn't have a child. And maybe he'll want a baby one day. And I'm okay with that. But right now, we are both a full fuck yes and fully committed. And right now, he has my son for 2 weeks while I'm with Tara. And he's writing me messages about the time they're spending together that brings tears to my eyes. And part of what I wanted in this relationship was a man who genuinely loved and cared about my children. And when, like, reading the birthday cards that they wrote to him and their love for him and their expression of the difference that he's made in their life, I'm just like, I fucking deserve that. And I never knew I deserved that. I never knew I deserved a lot of these things. And I'm telling you now, you deserve to be loved in the way you need to be loved. You deserve to be fucked and your body to be worshipped in the way you want to be fucked and worshipped. You deserved for your mind to open and vibe with someone in the way that excites you and inspires you. Don't settle. And, you know, what I suggest to you is to feel into all the things you want in a partner and ask yourself, am I that? Because that's what I did. I got that list and I'm like, where am I weak in any of these areas? Where am I not holding myself with a silent mind that witnesses without judgment and creates safety for every fucking part of me to be here? Every single part. Full permission. Full permission. And you know what? Realizing I don't have to be perfect. And I want whoever I'm with to know I'm not fucking perfect. And even though I'm this big tantra teacher and I know every communication practice in the fucking book, I am a crazy bitch sometimes, right? Not very often. And I don't suggest this at a practice, but at times I'm just like, Matisse, I am fucking charged right now. And you have a choice. If you are ready to hear me right now, you have to be prepared for whatever this is because it's not going to be rational. So either get the fuck out of here or sit there and don't say a word. And he's like, okay, I'm here. And then I just get it all off my chest. And he never holds it against me. He never holds anything against me. And that was a prerequisite. I don't want to be punished, and in my past relationship. And Aaron and him both, they never punished me. They never came back and said, oh, you were projecting this, you were projecting that. They know I'm human. And they're both tantric men who embrace the idea that our humanness is also divine. And it's exciting. And actually, sometimes when you're really angry and you're not in the communication practices that I recommend, that I still recommend, of being able to process what you need to process, feel deeply, come from your heart in vulnerability and speak into what you need and how you feel and what that will give you, you know, without the charge and without any projection. I still totally recommend that. And what I've seen through these two men who have loved me through it all, including my emotional upheavals, is that in them reassuring me that it's okay to be human, they're echoing the part of me that when I'm not being perfect has sat with myself so many times and said, Chantel, you know what? It's okay to be messy right now. It's okay to fall apart right now. You don't have to be perfect. This is really fucking hard, what you're going through. And they've also strengthened that to shine even more. And, you know, I used to be so vigilant about where, you know, it's like whatever you give yourself is what creates safety. You're responsible for your own safety. And now I realize that actually it's okay that also my men make me feel safe. And when I'm with someone who I don't have to walk around on eggshells with, and when I'm with someone who is okay with me being human and doesn't use my humanness against me and can love me, actually that's healing. And that's expansive, and that brings a different kind of safety. And, you know, the inner work is about being able to hold both the masculine and the feminine. It's like feeling that space of, yes, having that strong core that is always there to hold you, and also having a softness that recognizes that the beauty of the feminine is to be able to receive and soften. And yeah, the amount of times that I have melted into Batista's arms and been able to just shed so many tears and feel things that my mind hasn't even caught up with yet. You know, that there's often times where, you know, my body, I can feel body memories, but my mind doesn't have those memories. And he's just holding me, and maybe it's been like half an hour, and I'm like, babe, you don't have to keep holding me. And he's like, I'm here for the rest of the day if I need to be. And that's what I need. That might not be what you need. And that's what I was able to give myself before I attracted these men into my life, to cancel everything and hold myself all day if I need to. So there is that reflection. Mm-hmm. And them holding me in that has meant that my job is so much easier, because when I was doing it on my own, right, the resolve that I came to was never, ever quite the same. Mm-hmm. It's like the part of me that was always giving to myself as the primary resource that was finally able to just go, oh, and not do anything and just let myself be held. I can't even explain what that's done for me. It's actually opened me to receiving so much more of everything. It's helped me to receive more money. It's helped me to receive more play. It's helped me to receive more ease, more joy. And, you know, I often use the analogy of the apricot as something that I feel a woman can hold, which is this strong masculine center that is fucking solid. And I know I can hold myself through anything no matter what. And then there's this juicy apricot that bruises easily, that's really fragile and actually is juicy and delicious. And when a man can hold that apricot and feel that tenderness and the beauty in that tenderness, and, you know, that core inside me, it's still there, but I can just completely let myself be devoured by presence and appreciation. Wow. And being ravished, being devoured by a man's presence, by his consciousness, by his silence, by his vulnerability, by the way that he feels me so deeply. That's what lights me up. That's what brings out the best in me. And you want to be with someone that brings out the absolute best in you. You want to be with someone who, by virtue of the ease and flow that's in the relationship, how you do anything is how you do everything, right? So everything else becomes more easeful. Suddenly, in my last two relationships, the stress started leaving out of business. I used to work so fucking hard all through the night, not sleeping. And then when I started to feel this holding in relationship, that I didn't have to do everything on my own, I'm like, oh, I also don't have to carry everything in business. And then when I started feeling this energy that had ease and flow, it's like, oh, what would it feel like to bring more of that in the business? And that's just been expanding and expanding, and magic happens. And, you know, yes, the inner work is the core foundation of this. And the best inner work that you can ever do is understanding that actually when you stop trying to change and you are fully yourself and you're no longer swallowing back those jiggledy feelings in your belly, because so much of what's happening in your relationship doesn't quite feel right and you're just kind of swallowing it back and doing it anyway because that's what we're taught, you know, to not be the apricot, to be that tough exterior. And it's such a natural nervous system freeze response in the feminine. And then later in the day, you know, I've done a few things and I'm like, oh, and then suddenly it hits me and I'm like, fuck. And then it comes out passive aggressively, or I need to withdraw and take space. or I need to make a fight or create separation in some way. And now I just feel it all on the spot. And I'm not afraid of losing the relationship, because actually, if a relationship is based on you having to swallow things back, if a relationship is based on you not being able to express how you think and feel, and you're constantly trying to change and modify and pucker up, that takes a lot of effort. And it means that there's this programming that's through all of your cells. I have to be different. I have to be different. I have to be different. What if you relax all of that? What if you say what even if you might not have the relationship? What if you say what you think and how you feel? And so I did, you know. And actually, by the time I got to Aaron, I said, you know what? I want you to pay for everything. And even if I subsidize that and pay for other things, when we go to restaurants, when you take me shopping, I want you to use your card. And then, you know, you can take, I wanted to experience that. I wanted to experience a man paying for everything. And he gave me that, right? Is it irrational? Probably. Did it really heal some money wounds I had in relationship? Fuck yes. Mm. You know, and there are many unreasonable requests I've made that my logical mind could go, you know, is that really fair to ask of someone? You know, I had no qualms by the time I got to Matisse and saying, I want you to be really involved in my kids' lives, because I learned that they are my fucking heart. And if my partner's not them, they're not choosing me. Is that scary? Asking a 31-year-old to take on two kids, one who's 20, one who's 14? Fuck yes. Was I willing to do it? Fuck yes, because I am committed to being me, and I am committed to no longer judging what is real, to being completely in my naturalness. And when I'm wild and in my naturalness and in my fullness and I'm giving myself permission to be me, if you can be with that and we vibe together and we're naturally aligned, woohoo! And if we're not, okay. You know, that's not my destiny. And I'm a strong believer that the body tells you so much if you can trust it and you stop analyzing. You can feel in your body your yes and your no. I'm a strong believer that you can trust your heart. I'm a strong believer that if the mind is constantly doubting, right? So guess what? When you stop trying to change and you are yourself, when I decided to do that, I stopped trying to be this ideal fucking spiritual woman, this ideal bhakti woman for this guy, shaman woman for this guy, you know, flexible and okay with everything. When I stopped all that and I got real with who I am, that's when my life really changed. That's when I finally, started looking after myself, all the things I'd been trying to do. That's when I finally no longer stress. Ever with work. If something is not flowing, it's not flowing. And I don't fucking do it. I don't do anything that's not in my joy anymore. And I can 100% testify to that. And in that space, what that creates when I'm not doing things that are out of alignment and there's all this tension, oh, wow, there's all this spaciousness to actually create the life that I want. There's all this spaciousness to go, wow, and what's next? Right? You know, at the moment, I'm really feeling into receiving the perfect person into the business to take care of some things. You know, if you want to work for the academy and you have a hit that maybe you're the one I'm talking about, I'm never going to give you the job description because I'm not in my mind enough to tell you what it is, please reach out to us, right? And I've never done this before. And as soon as I know what I want to receive now, I put it out to the universe. I don't try. I don't stress about it. I don't ruminate. I trust in the universe. I know if it comes, it's meant to come. And if it doesn't, that's not meant to be either. And you can live your life in that way when, especially for a woman who prioritizes relationship, when your relationship is vampiring your mind, vampiring your emotional body, vampiring your energy, because you're constantly trying to work out, how can I make this work? How do I need to change? How could I have done that differently? Bah, 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 bah. when you're with someone and there's resonance, you know, Tess and I, we still have moments of challenge. Not very many. And when we do, we move through it really easily because we get each other, because we speak each other's language, because we feel each other, right? So be with someone who's your resonance. Be with someone who your body has this feeling. Yeah, this is it. Who your heart has this feeling. This feels safe to me. This feels right. Your consciousness is like, really, I would want to be this person. You know, that's a good one. That's a good one. If I was a dude, I would definitely want to be Matisse. You know, don't be with anyone who you wouldn't want to be. Don't have a teacher who you wouldn't want to be like. Just to add an extra thing in there. So everyone take a deep breath. And out of sight, it's all been a lot of information and, you know, all of the lives, podcasts, it's great. There's a lot of information and concepts. And if this resonates with you and you want to go deeper, you need to go into embodiment. You need to be guided into the depths of your heart. And some people have no fucking idea what they even want, who I work with. And if you want to go deeper into this, then, you know, work with me privately or Erin privately, because sometimes you need someone to reflect your blind spots. You need someone to ask questions, to say to you what I'm going to ask you right now and then take you through some embodiment with that. But start here. If you knew you were worthy of having the relationship that gave you the love, pleasure, inspiration, conversation, energy, felt sense of fluidity and juiciness that is in resonance with you, and you knew you were worthy of having it all, who would that person be? First question. And how close is that to who you already are and your own internal masculine or your own internal feminine for the men listening? And maybe start by bridging the gap between the two. And this is where it gets tricky because we have all of these beliefs. You know, if we've been brought up by a mum and dad who didn't have a resonant relationship, that was amazing. It's really hard to know that that's possible, right? If we weren't brought up with parents who were passionate and making love all the time, it's really hard to know that that's possible. If we didn't grow up with parents who had mutual respect and love and safety, it's really hard to imagine that's possible, let alone all the relationships that you've had. So we have all of these beliefs and associations that need rewiring. And we need to understand that actually, even if our comfort zone sucks, we're always going to be gravitated back to that comfort zone. And to get out of your comfort saying, guess what? You need to be willing to be uncomfortable. And sometimes it's really hard to be uncomfortable. So sometimes you need to be held in that discomfort and guided in that discomfort. So please, if you need extra support, seek it out. Yeah. And we're here.
Thank you. It's incredible to hear you sharing about your history, because I know whenever we do sessions, when you're working with me, I'm always like, oh wow, because I hear where you're at now. But it's always really lovely to hear where you've been, and so I'm very grateful for the lessons that you've learned and how you've been able to integrate them each step. And I think, yeah, that's definitely something we've been working on, has been that thing that actually what I see in you is that there isn't any need to compromise. And you're not saying that your partner, that everyone has to be able to meet all of your needs. Well, they do have to meet all your needs, but you're willing to also walk away if they can't, right? And and what I see is so little judgment or drama around your needs. And sometimes we laugh that you've sort of discovered this new need that you didn't realize you had, because you're in this relationship that keeps evolving in that space, and you're like, well, I'll try that on. And maybe he'll say no, and that's okay. Or maybe it's not okay. But it's like, it's actually just such a simple process that I'm always reminded of, that it can be simple and it doesn't have to be all this drama. But oftentimes, you know, for me, it's been a journey working with you and in my own life of realizing, I didn't even realize words I was compromising because I was so not used to asking or even identifying actually what it was that I truly wanted. Not this like sort of superficial list of I want this, this and this, but actually what brings my nervous system into a state of ease in relationship. And I've been learning to actually speak up, because so often my partners have wanted to show up for me, but I've not even been able to articulate what that is. And instead it will just activate my withdrawal or activate my, oh, I think maybe this isn't right, you know? So actually like working through that with you to go, well, what is it that my nervous system needs? And can I have it all? Is it okay to want it all? What even is it all for me? Because what it is for me is different to you. But actually just owning that and then not judging the person that you're with, you know, that's been a huge journey, I think, for me as we've worked together on this, you know, to actually identify what I want and realize I can have more. I don't have to shrink, you know. So,
yeah, thanks for that. And it's been incredible in your journey of owning your worth and reclaiming that worth. And you're so courageous and brave. I fucking love you.
And I love you too.
You've got so much to offer in that realm. And yeah, you reminded me when you were saying, I remember sharing with you, I said to Matisse, like, I want to be wowed every day. And
I love,
you know,
this.
Like, do I get to ask for that? Fuck it. You know, I do want to be wowed every day. And he does wow me every day, you know? And it's interesting that he was actually okay with that. And we don't know what they're okay with. And sometimes what we're asking for is a deal breaker if they can't give it to us. And sometimes it's just a preference, you know. And it's okay when we do ask, when we do share, we ideally it's not with that attachment that you're talking about, that you have to say yes. It's like giving them the freedom to say yes or no. Be curious. Are we compatible? Can you meet this if it's one of those really important ones, you know. Like the children one is definitely a non-negotiable. A man being able to do the inner work is definitely a non-negotiable. And, yeah, as someone who wants to travel a lot, these are the three things that just light up my soul like nothing else. So, and I love that you shared, you know, it's like, so what is it for you? What is it for your nervous system that really allows you to drop into ease? What is it about your sexuality that helps you to just fully surrender and feel the most pleasure possible? What is it about your and your consciousness? It's like, you know, if I could summarize for me, this is like tantra and silence are the two things that I need to be met with in consciousness, you know. And the heart, definitely I need to be able to feel my partner. And that means I can't be with someone who's really in their head, and I can't be with someone who tries to fix me or, you know, it's like, oh, okay, what is that? So it's good to go, how do I open? And then what are the qualities, right? Mm-hmm. And what I, you know, whenever I guide women into discovering, and men, discovering what they want in a partner, rather than starting with the mind, I start with the body. It's like, how do you want to feel in your relationship, right? Okay, you want to feel happy. That's a big one for me now. It's like, if I'm not happy, if that's not the consistent thing, why am I there? Like, I'm not here to be miserable. I'm here to be fucking happy. Mm-hmm. So what makes me feel happy? What makes me feel excited? What makes me feel turned on? And, you know, because some people, when they make a list, it's like, oh, you know, they've got money, they live in the same state, da, 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 da. And maybe some of those things are important, but I think the bigger question is always, how do I want to feel in my body in relationship? And if I bring a person into mind and I'm feeling that, what are the qualities in them that supports that feeling?
Totally. And, you know, like for me, play and creativity are so important. That's like, I'm an artist as well. And and so it's like, whatever it is, not judging it, you know. Some, like, for a while I think I was like, oh, is it a bit uncool that, you know, for me, I'm very in touch with my inner child. I'm not childish, but it's like the element of play as a performer, as an artist with my partner is so important. And that actually leads to sexual connection. It's not the other way. So, you know, really finding the uniqueness of that and owning it has been really amazing just for me and my identity and my relationship to myself, irrespective of relationships. It's like this ownership of who I am that I'm discovering as I go through this journey of speaking up in relationship as well. And I wanted to ask you a question. You said something earlier on about the path of least resistance, and I think you were referring to the path of least resistance when you can operate in this way. And I guess I wanted to speak to how for a lot of people, and for me included, in past relationships, what I've thought the path of least resistance was not speaking up, you know, staying in a relationship for a long time. That felt like the path of least resistance. And so I wondered if you could speak into what you mean by the path of least resistance, because you've really shown me that actually relationships can just be easeful.
So when you're swallowing back, there's a resistance in the body. That's not the path of least resistance. Even though we've been programmed to go avoid confrontation at all costs, right? Mm-hmm. And taken as the path of least resistance. Let's just keep it all happy. But everyone knows it just gets under the carpet, and the carpet just gets fucking more and more full. And then you lift up the carpet and it's like, whoa, you know, and the relationship's gone and people are together and there's been too much damage done and it's all been swept onto the carpet because we're all putting on a happy mask and going, oh, we're happily married, you know, we're happily together and I'm okay with this and I'm okay with that. Bullshit, right? Mm-hmm. And it comes, all of that resistance to what's natural has an impact on health, your mental health, your physical health and your emotional health. So when you're no longer resisting your naturalness, that's what I'm referring to.
Thank you. It's so powerful, and it's, you know, it's creating a new paradigm of what's possible in relating from the conditioning and the narratives we have of push and pull and drama and things having to be hard and having to fight for a relationship. This idea, the more you fight, the more of a powerful relationship is, and all of these different ideas, to actually just come back to what is your truth, what is it that you need, and can this other person meet you in that way and you meet them, you know, it's letting go of the drama as well.
And it's actually a much more fluid approach, you know, it's like that the unhealthy masculine that guides a lot of our culture, and there's also beautiful healthy masculine, but of like, you got to work hard. Gotta work hard, spend money.
Don't give up.
Gotta work hard at your relationship. You've got to make sacrifices. It's like, it's so ingrained in us, right? It's from well-meaning teachers, from well-meaning parents. Gotta work hard. What about, it's your birthright to relax. It's your birthright to surrender. It's your birthright to feel and flow and to be with what's here. And honest with what's here, that is much more feminine in a way, you know. I think that there's so much to be said about living more from the feminine for all of us, and that doesn't mean like the masculine's not amazing, but we're the birthers, you know. We hold life in our body and we give birth. We are so powerful. There is so much power in the feminine. And what if the feminine led more rather than at the moment the masculine leads most relationships and life, right? And we have this world that's based on that like hard work model that creates a lot of stress, and the feminine is much more trusting life and trusting flow. And then what if the action that was being taken from that, which is a more masculine oriented posture, was coming from the feminine? Was coming from our intuition, was coming from our trust, was coming from our softness. There's so much hardness everywhere, you know, and like you can't even speak to a human now with so many things, you know. It's like these days you want to find something out and you've got to chat to someone online, and it's all just so disconnected. And what I stand for is a deeper fluidity and trust in life and trust in the body and trust in how we feel that supports a fluid movement into our destiny. And the thing that I always say, it's like, how do you know what you're aligned with at a soul level? How do you know what's in alignment with your dharma? You know, and dharma is your supreme destiny. How can you feel that? Well, I feel like that, you know, when you're in soul, when you're in your joy, when you're lit up, that's the soul. It's like, for me. And whenever I follow my joy, whenever I'm feeling happy, that's when I remember who I am. That's when I feel closest to soul, to source, to a space of like, anything is possible in this beautiful mystery of life. And I am your humble student life. You want it. I'm yours.
It's beautiful. Thank you. And, you know, it also makes me think that from that place, there's also joyful compromise or joyful meeting and joyful growth within a relationship. So it's not saying that you have your list of needs and they're immovable. But actually, when you come from this place of ease, sometimes it might lead you to realize the relationship isn't right. But other times it actually means that, again, without drama, you can feel into the truth in your body and go, actually, maybe what this person is asking of me would be joyful because I love them and I can be a yes. Or maybe I'm actually a no and let's not drag it out. But there is a space as well where you can show up for each other and learn from each other in a more easeful way, even if it's not your original truth or desire, right?
And, you know, what I'm describing, it's not always butterflies and rainbows. You know, like Peace and I and Aaron and I, sometimes we go into these deep, dark places, you know, that are hard, but the ease is in the resonance that we're kind of dealing, we're dealing with it with a similar language. You know, we're vibing in the same place, so that even in those times when we're not meeting, we're still meeting, right? Even in those times we're feeling fucking terrible, there's still this like, okay, there's so much joy happening most of the time and ease, but there's a lot more willingness and energy to fully go to those places. You know, anyone who's worked with me privately knows that I hate the gray area. I'm like, if you are here or there, like, you 1 foot in the door, 1 foot out the door, either get the fuck in or get the fuck out, you know, the gray area stuff. And it's like the emotional body. It's like, if you're angry, punch some pillows, scream, get it all out of your system, let it move, trust the body, and then go into high vibration, right? But if you're just like not feeling everything fully and not quite high vibration fully, but you're just in this gray area of kind of feeling miserable but also feeling happy, it sucks. I reckon it sucks.
Yeah.
So my suggestion is, if you got 1 foot in, 1 foot out, get all the way in or get all the way out. If you feel emotionally kind of, I'm kind of happy, but I'm also kind of sad, like, let both rip. All right, life's too short. Give it all you got. And you know what? Whenever I'm expressing and releasing, and what I mean by that is, when you have emotions that are strong, you don't want the energy to stay stuck. And one of the best things you can do for your relationship is that when strong feelings come up, go for it. Like, take some space. Just get it all out of your system, because chances are whatever's being triggered is reminding you of something from your childhood, from past relationships. It's like, get it out of your system. Shake, punch, cry, do what you need to do. Empty out. And then once you've felt what needs to be felt, be very clear. Okay, if I'm going to be all the way in, this is what I need. Or maybe it didn't even have anything to do with your partner and you're just clear after that and you just needed press release or have a sleep or whatever it is. So, yeah, there's so many layers. I could talk here all day about relationship. It's my greatest passion. It's been the most amazing tool of growth for me. And I think what I really want to write home here is that you get to be in a relationship relationship that feels right for you.
Mm.
Out of the mind, it's like, this feels right. Sexually, at a heart level, and at a consciousness level. It's like, there's a consistent yes. There's a consistent ease. There's a consistent pleasure. There's a consistent alignment.
And thank you for being an example of that being a possibility, because if it's possible for you, I've learnt, even though it may seem a little out of reach or a little intimidating to, you know, place how you live as a possibility for me, it is, because why not? You know, you've been on that journey and it's your commitment to the love that's involved in that process, really, love of yourself, love of relationship, love of the other, that has made it, you know, it makes it possible for others to go, why can't I have that too? And, you know, for people watching Chantelle speak, I'm lucky to get to speak to her as a friend and as a teacher. And, you know, I just want to say, like, it's, there isn't that much difference. Like, this is someone who applies this and is practiced and dedicated to it, but it is possible for all of us, right? It's just that there are some shifts in the way we think. So I guess, so thank you for sharing it so beautifully and clearly. And I want us, we'll wrap up soon, but I do want to leave some space. I think someone's asked a question.
Yeah.
What about for a few questions?
Relationship. I'm not sure what is actually being asked there. Maybe you know, Erin.
Yeah, whoever's asked that question, what about the transition towards a relationship? If you have any more detail.
They're talking about, you start a relationship, so first of all, get to know the person before you say yes. You know, there's so many relationships that are karmic or based on trauma bonding or wounding, and we feel this, oh my god, yes, straight away. And I've experienced that really strongly. You don't know someone until you know them. You don't know someone until you've seen their shadows. You don't know someone until you've collected enough data, if you will, to really assess the situation, number one. Number two, to feel them over a period of time and how they respond in different situations and how they respond to you and how you vibrate. And, you know, Tisa and I were friends for 4 months before we were together, and that was beautiful. It was such a beautiful time of getting to know each other, and I loved him so much as a friend. And I wasn't even considering relationship with him at the time, because I was, otherwise my heart was somewhere else. And then it was like, oh, wow, you know, we're actually, you know, it was my birthday, and my birthday is 11/11, and it was like 11/11 that night. And, you know, there was a ceremony going on and different things, and we ended up in a dark room together, escaping the party at the same time. And I felt his presence, and I'm like, oh, whoa, okay. There's something here with Tees. And then we went down to the grass and under the moon, and we already loved each other so much as friends and trusted each other. And then there was this beautiful coming together. And in tantric scriptures and in a lot of tantric writings, actually the suggestion is spend 3 months with someone before you make love to them and just get to know them. You know, because once you make love, you know, that's a whole other story. There's all this merging and heightened everything, right? So in taking that time to get to know someone, you can make a choice from a space that has a lot more discernment and awareness and, yeah, assessment. And I loved how you shared, like, for you, you need someone who's in the performing arts, and knowing you, of course you do. That's your life. That's your love. And how funny, you ever didn't think that, of course, you do that. We like, do we get to have that? Is that okay to ask for? Yes, it's okay to ask for anything. And I was the same. I never had thought that, okay, I want them to be in tantra. Of course I want them to be in tantra. Mm-hmm. It's like, I bow to tantra. Tantra is my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's such this part of us that defaults into just, yeah, that compromise you're talking about, and that sacrifice that's not so joyful, because we haven't actually meditated on and contemplated and felt in our bodies what is that that real full yes for me. What does it for me?
And it's exciting. And it's exciting to meet someone who's also got some clarity around that, you know, because when somebody is a full yes to what they want and you can joyfully meet that, it feels good to be able to give that to someone. When someone, you know, I know for me, I often would couch my requests in hidden ways because I was too nervous that what if I offend them or what if they don't like me anymore. But what I've sort of started to learn is that, yes, yeah, sometimes what I ask for, the person, whether it's in a romantic relationship or work or whatever, sometimes they can't meet it. But sometimes it's not an issue for them at all. And I've been stressing about this for like weeks. And they're like, oh, yeah, no, I can do that. I'm like, oh, my God, like how much of my life, you know, I get emotional. Like how much of my life have I not even asked the question to give someone who loves me the chance to meet me? You know, like that brings tears to my eyes that I've like not had the self-worth to think that I'm, you know, I can just ask. And also I'm probably going to be much less of a bitch if I actually just am not apologizing for it and I'm just saying, hey, this is what I need. Do you reckon you could do that? Yes. Amazing. Conversation basically done. Or no. Okay. Well, I can love myself in that, you know. So it's been huge to kind of realize I can ask the question.
Yeah, that's beautiful, Erin. Yeah. And so be available to rewatch. Yes, it will be.
Yeah.
There was one thing I wanted to, you just reminded me of something. Yeah, like that space of feeling worthy to ask and that surprise that does come. And it's really so much is to do with what we feel worthy of, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's like how do you go over the limit of what you already feel worthy of? Maybe right now you don't feel worthy of that much. And really it's just like in this moment, can we all choose together? Can we all just close our eyes? Deep breath into the body and just really tell ourselves, you know what, you're worthy of your ultimate happiness. You are worthy of that. It's your birthright. It's your birthright to feel good, to feel resonant. Okay to want that. You're worthy of that. You're worthy of receiving love and giving love without all the stress, in your ease and your pleasure. You are absolutely worthy of that. And if everyone wants to open their eyes, I just have something coming through, which is that This part of my work, I really consecrate to the future generation who what I want to see them with parents. Like, think of how fucked up we are from having parents who were settling, who were always trying to change each other, who were hating each other for being them. Like, you know, if you're in a relationship with someone and there's not that resonance, and you're trying to change the other person and trying to get what you want and they're trying to get what they want. It's just constant. It's just this constant conflict that's expressed externally, that's felt energetically, and kids are growing up with that. And there's all this inner conflict. Imagine if our children grew up with parents who are in this natural flow of love and freedom together, of just like of joy, right? Wow. What would that have been like? Growing up with parents who were predominantly in their joy together, I've seen the impact that's had on my kids' lives, and it's been the most incredible thing I've ever experienced in my life, just seeing the impact of a stable, loving, passionate, easeful relationship on their lives. Mm-hmm. Absolutely unbelievable. And, yeah, so you get to have it all, like, to bring in a transpersonal element and commit something to service. So feel it for you and also feel it for your kids, either the kids that you have or the kids you're going to have. Give them this gift. Give them the gift of a new paradigm, of a new era. That's how we're going to change the world, by Raising children in an environment that feels safe, a safe home that they know this is a safe haven, where ease and joy is the most consistent wave that's flowing through, river that's flowing through this house. And I can also be free and go and be myself, you know, and that's another story. And there's so much more I can say. And I've seen other questions like, is that all there is? No, there's so much more. So we're going to be doing more lives. We've got online courses. I work privately with people. So does Erin. So we have resources. If you're not already tuned in to the Love, Sex and Freedom podcast, there's lots of juicy material there. We've got amazing short courses. If, you know, you just wanted to drop $100 and change your life, you know, they're like, they potentially do that, these short courses. And then there's the longer 8-week journeys, which build each week and, you know, take you, guide you into the body with all of this and into rewiring all of the associations that we grow up with. So there's places you can go.
Yeah, I can definitely recommend the Relationship Tantra course. That the 8 weeks of that really speaks to a lot of what we've been speaking to today. And yeah, I guess the intention for these lives is to speak to some of these popular topics to give the Academy audience a little bit more on a more regular basis around some of these things. So if you have a topic you'd really like us to cover, if there's something you feel like you really want to hear Chantel talk about, feel free to, you know, comment on a post. We'll be making posts asking for your topics that you want to hear about, because we really want to, you know, reach you in this capacity. So I think we'll wrap up there. You and I could talk for 4 hours, but we probably need to charge our phones soon, and, you know. But thank you so much to everyone that tuned in. This was the first one, and I've really enjoyed it, and it's felt like it's been a really beautiful conversation. So thank you, Chantel. And, yeah, if you're catching this on the replay, know that we're going to be doing these more regularly. So we're really, really looking forward to continuing the conversation. Comment, share. And really the mission of the Academy to really live this and share this around the world. So thank you for being a part of it.
Lots of love, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Love, Sex and Freedom podcast. For more great free resources, in-person and online workshops and our retreats, find us on Instagram and Facebook at Embodied Awakening Academy, or visit embodiedawakeningacademy.com. See you next time.